Raising women's voices, one story at a time. Welcome to the She Said Project Podcast. We are back on the She Said Project podcast. If you've listened before and have gotten to know me and Carrie, welcome back. We love you. We love getting together and chatting with women who've appeared on stage and That's What She Said. And if you're new to all things She Said, welcome. Welcome to the She Said Sisterhood, where we like to create safe space for women to be seen and heard and celebrated for exactly who they already are. And we do that with live shows called That's What She Said, where women share personal stories. I'm Jeanette Jerzyk, your host today. I am the national director of the She Said Project, a growing movement that is taking cities by storm. Right, Carrie Rosso?
I'm telling you, it's true. I'm Carrie Rosso, co-founder, and I just watched this thing take off. You know, it was intended to be a one-night show, and which is the funniest thing ever, because we were like, whew, we did it. We did it. And now it's just a runaway train.
One night 10 years ago. 10 years ago. We're celebrating 10 years. And I know we don't like to timestamp our podcast, but this season is special because 2023 does represent 10 years of That's What She Said. One night, which is now in 2023, there are eight performances in eight cities. Mm-hmm. And I think we're up to 11 for next year already. So I don't think it's stopping anytime soon.
Well, there certainly is no shortage of awesome women, no shortage of awesome stories. So we'll just keep rolling.
I wish there was a way we could I wish there was a way we can invite lots and lots of women to participate and be part of this. But, you know, we're only one night, one city, you know, eight women on a stage, nine women, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 women. Carrie's looking at me like, stop it now.
This is one of the behind the scenes fights that we always have. I always say seven and she says, you know, 13.
Eight or nine.
And then we land 10, 11. On eight or nine. But we always start on opposite ends.
We start at 7 minutes, seven women, and then we go from there. And I have to say, we've had some good rule followers lately. Our current cast that are working on their stuff have been sticking to the rules. So you'd
good.
Be proud. You'd be
good.
Very proud.
Good.
But our guest today is from an awesome show in our sister community of Bloomington Normal, Illinois, where those women, I don't know if they all stuck to the 7 minute rule, but they certainly brought powerful, amazing, really, really special stories. And that whole show just, you know, took us on one of those roller coasters that we love. We laughed, we cried, raised a glass, all the things.
I got to tell you, that show was sort of the perfect, we always talk about it being a rhythm of funny stories, serious stories, because you can't stay in any one emotional state for 2 hours. So, and that show was perfection. It had all of it.
And I love it when you meet someone and they just tell you their life story and they go, I don't know if it's anything interesting. It's just what I know. And I'm sitting here staring at Patty Pran Young because when she told me her story, I was like, jaw on the floor. I don't know anything of what it's like to live in your shoes for a day. So thank you. Thank you for opening up my eyes. And welcome back, Patty, to the She Said Sisterhood.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here. Oh my gosh.
I'm so excited that you're here in person, which is always a treat.
Yes.
At the WILL studios at Illinois Public Media, our awesome, awesome partners. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I haven't seen you in a while. It's been a number of months since you know, it was about a year ago that we were really digging in deep and working on your story and preparing for your performance. What was that process like for you?
Oh, gosh, I loved it. And I loved all the women that I met that were in my, and I'm sure all the women from all the seasons are amazing, but I'm a little partial to my my group, as I'm sure everybody is, to their group, because these women were, oh, my gosh, they all had, just like Carrie said, different stories that were, some of them were funny, some of them were not so funny, and, you know, more on the serious part of things. And it was like you said, it was a perfect rhythm show where we cried and we laughed and we hugged each other, and you know, it was just, we felt all the feelings, all of it right there. And when you were talking about the time, it's funny because I think my speech, once I had it edited and finished, it was closer to 10 minutes. But then when you get on stage and you're like, I was talking so fast. I was just like, da, 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 da. And I think it basically ended up at 7 because I, you know, once I watched it, I rewatched it on video. I'm like, yeah, I think I think I'm at the 7:15 mark or something.
Well, whatever it was perfect. And you are quite the comedian. And I don't think you realized that going into the process and how funny and delightful you truly are.
Thank you. Thank you.
So your story was about your quinceañera.
Yes. Yeah. That and beyond. Yeah. It was mostly about coming to this country after it. You know, I mean, the quinceañera and then immigrating here.
And how old were you when you immigrated?
Well, I was 15. So, yes, it was everything that happened that year. That was a big year for me, starting out with my party, which my party was on my 15th birthday, and then preparing to move from Costa Rica to the U.S., which is, oh, gosh, I can't even begin to explain how different it is, you know, diametrically opposites on the spectrum of everything, like language and like lifestyle and everything, like culture, everything. It was just plucking a 15-year-old girl, you know, with her friends and with her, you know, family. And because we left family, I mean, it was literally just my nuclear family. It was my mom, my dad, my sister and I. That's it. Everyone else stayed, you know, in one fell swoop. I lost all my, didn't lose them, but, you know, I mean, it kind of felt like it at the time. I was angry.
I bet. That's a hard time anyway in your life. And then to have all
it
of
is.
Those changes.
Oh my gosh. Yes. It's a very, very tough time. I mean, you're finding yourself, you're trying to fit in, you're trying to be cool, you're trying, yeah, and then all of a sudden, you know, they pluck you out of that world and put you into a world that you know nothing about, and you're, you know, hormonal, you're a hormonal teenager, you know, you just don't know what to do.
I think I'm going back to that now. I'm a 51-year-old hormonal mess. Well, I remember seeing you, two things. You walked out onto the stage and you had such a peppy, like pep in your step walk. And I was like, it made me think of the, like, wow, she's tiny but mighty. I can't wait to hear this. And then when I was watching you during your castmates' pieces, and you were so, like, before I'd ever even spoken to you, your face was so encouraging. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's a sister right there.
Oh,
for sure.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I absolutely love those women, and I was just genuinely happy to see them on stage and that none of them messed up. Like, everybody just did it perfectly. I was like a proud mom, you mm-hmm. know. It was great.
We often feel like that. It's mm-hmm. true. I'm willing to bet that there's someone listening to our conversation today that is going to be able to relate to an experience like you went through, having to move in middle school or high school, or moving to another country or not speaking the same language. And for you to be brave enough to stand up there and relive it for our audience, you know, there's power in that. And the women in the audience that night and the women who are going to get to listen to your story in just a moment, you know, I bet there's going to be some women who get to have a real chuckle and go, oh my gosh, I know what that feels like. And that is part of the magic of sharing our stories. So without further ado, let's cut to the tape, if you will. But let's share your amazing story, because there's some questions I have for you and want to unpack some of it, but I don't want to give it away. So let's share with our listeners Patty Pranyoung from her stage performance, and That's What She Said, in Bloomington Normal in 2022. Here you have It Could Be Heaven or It Could Be Hell.
Picture, if you will, a shy 14-year-old girl living in Costa Rica. She has struggled with low self-esteem her entire life, not to mention all the insecurities that would plague any normal teenage girl and then some. But she has to put all of that aside and put on a brave face in order to survive this stressful rite of passage that we call a quinceañera. Now, if you don't know what a quinceañera is, let me enlighten you. A quinceañera is a celebration of a girl's 15th birthday, a coming-of-age party. It marks her passage from girlhood to womanhood. Now, I was a scrawny, 70-pound girl with frizzy hair, braces, and no boobs. But somehow, on that day, I was supposed to miraculously become a woman. And to add insult to injury, I had to find 14 boys and 14 girls to escort me down the aisle that day. Much like the bridesmaids and groomsmen in a traditional wedding ceremony. But did I mention I was incredibly shy, incredibly awkward, and in my own eyes, an ugly duckling. How in the world was I supposed to find 14 boys and 14 girls that liked me enough to do this huge favor for me? Well, long story short, I found 5 girls and 5 boys, and that was quite the ordeal. My mother took one look at me and just said, fine, we'll make this work. Fast forward to the day of my 15th birthday. I went to a salon and got my hair all done up, got some light makeup put on my face. I wore a beautiful princess dress and a tiara. I remember walking out of there and catching a glimpse of myself in the mirror and not recognizing the person looking back at me. I wasn't an ugly duckling anymore. I felt beautiful for the first time in my life. Now, as I approached the party hall that night, I didn't know what to expect. I was super nervous. I didn't know if anybody would even show up, if I was gonna trip and fall and embarrass myself, if anybody would wanna dance with me. But lo and behold, the boy that I had a crush on was standing at the door with a bouquet of roses and wished me a happy birthday. I almost fainted. And then I walked in, and I saw everyone, literally everyone I had invited. They were all there for me. I couldn't believe it. That night was the best night of my life up until that point. I danced the night away, and I just felt awesome. But then the strangest thing happened. I guess seeing me all dolled up like that and with my newfound sense of confidence, it must have changed my social status back at school, because all of a sudden, kids who had never said a word to me before were coming up and talking to me voluntarily. I was getting invited to parties and events that I had never been invited to before. I mean, I felt like I had arrived. Never in a million years had I even dreamed of being popular or cool. I literally just wanted to be accepted. I just wanted people to want to talk to me, to want to hang out with me. And it had finally happened. And then my dad dropped the bomb. We are moving to the United States in 6 months. Whew. To say I was angry would be a huge understatement. I mean, like I said, the moment I had waited my entire life was finally here, and now we're leaving. I tried everything, pleading with my parents, bargaining with my parents, yelling at my parents, not speaking to my parents. Nothing worked. Literally 6 months after my 15th birthday, almost to the day, we were on a plane headed to Florida, with the clothes on our back and a suitcase full of money, ready to start a new life in a brand new country with a new language, different people, different everything. My life was literally over, or so I thought. Now, my friends back in Costa Rica and I promised to keep in touch with each other, but that didn't really happen. I mean, this was 1986. There was no texting, no social media. Turns out snail mail between two different countries back in the 80s was very slow and very unreliable. So we probably exchanged a couple letters back and forth, and then it all just fizzled out. So I had to rely on making new friendships here in the US. Except there was one teensy tiny problem. I didn't speak a lick of English, except for the few words that I had learned in a freshman English class back in Costa Rica. But before you say, oh, well, there it is, let me paint another picture for you. Imagine, if you will, if you had to move to Spain or any other Spanish-speaking country tomorrow with only your freshman Spanish class knowledge to guide you. Yeah, not fun, not easy. Now, my freshman English teacher back in Costa Rica, she was a cool bohemian chick who thought the best way to get a bunch of 15-year-old kids to learn a new language was through music. And by music, I mean The first semester, we learned the lyrics to Faithfully by Journey. And the second semester, it was Hotel California by the Eagles. I mean, I thought it was cool at the time. What teenager wouldn't think that? But did it help me have conversational English with my new peers here in the US? Hell no. But hey, I could say, you can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave, in the cutest Costa Rican accent. But in all seriousness, when I got to the US, I was hugely unprepared. I was completely unaware of things like slang terms and racial slurs. I remember clearly coming home from school one afternoon and asking my dad, what's a spic? My little sister was only 11 years old when we moved to the States, so she had a much easier time with all of it, leaving her home country, coming here, making new friends, learning the language, becoming acclimated to a whole new culture. I, on the other hand, was angry, heartbroken, sad, and lost. Now, let me tell you a little backstory. My parents didn't make the decision to uproot their family lightly. This was a calculated decision they made for our safety and well-being. See, back in the 80s, Central America wasn't the beautiful and safe destination it is today. Nicaragua, which is the country directly to the north of Costa Rica, was going through a revolutionary war, and there was just terrible violence all through that area that was beginning to spill across the border south into our country. And I don't know if you guys know this, but Costa Rica has always been nicknamed the Switzerland of Central America because we have no army. We are a neutral country, a peaceful country. So when guerrilla movements from other areas decide to invade our country, we have no way of protecting ourselves. So needless to say, it was a scary time. The news channels back then in Costa Rica were riddled with stories of violence of all sorts. There were murders and rapes and thefts and break-ins, everything you can imagine. And although physically nothing had happened to us yet, our house did get broken into twice and our car once. They stole my mom's jewelry and we lost a lot of our precious possessions. So even though little 15-year-old me thought my life was literally over, my parents may have actually saved my life by getting us out of there when they could. Now, here in the U.S., I had a tough time making friends again. And this time, it was because of the language barrier, but also that good old insecurity rearing its ugly head back up. But the good news is that there was a group of new wave kids that sort of took me under their wing. One of those kids was a German exchange student, and he and I bonded over our terrible accents and our cynical sense of humor. He had a mohawk, like a full-on mohawk. And my parents hated him. Of course. But I was in my rebellious period, so I continued seeing him behind their back. On my 16th birthday, he gave me my first kiss at the beach under the stars. And then 2 weeks later, when school was over, he moved back to Germany, and I never saw him again. That summer, as part of my protest behavior, I shaved my own head into a mohawk. My dad took one look at me and grounded me until, what he said, the sides of my head grew out. His words, not mine. Luckily, it was summer, so I had nowhere to be, but it did take a few weeks. Despite all that, I still kept hanging out with these friends. Not exactly the group of friends my parents would have handpicked for me. These kids were outcasts. They were punks. They were goths. Emo kids. But you know what? They were really nice to me, and that was a hell of a lot more than I could ask from the mainstream population back at the school. That meant the world to me. And you know what? I still keep in touch with some of them, and I am fairly certain that my time spent with them back then helped forge the person that I am today. Fierce, independent, and definitely quirky. Thank you. Now here we are, 30 years later. My English is a little better now. And I now have two beautiful girls of my own who happen to be sitting right here front row. They're a little bit older than my sister and I were when we moved to the US, but they've gone through a lot of the same challenges and obstacles that most teenage kids go through. But when I look at them, so sweet and innocent, their whole lives ahead of them, I finally understand the sacrifice my parents had to make back then. I would do that and so much more for my girls. And I would only hope that they would be a little bit more appreciative than I was at the time. And if they're not, they can check out anytime they want, but they can never leave. Thank you.
So, Patty, first of all jokes aside, or all jokes on the table, mm-hmm. I mean, the jokes about Hotel California were really funny.
It was fun.
And we played that into the title, which was really fun. But still, you know, it was this powerful story of a young girl, you know, coming of age story, if you will, and then being plucked out of everything you knew and relocating. And you had no idea why.
Right. Well, I mean, I sort of knew, but it was just, I was against the whole thing, because when you're 15, you don't really care about politics and like, you know, the state of affairs of the world and whatever. You just care about, you know, the cute boy that's in your class that sits next to you. And then, you know, the girls that used to be mean to you and now are starting to talk to you because, you know, you're starting to, you know, blossom and like not be the awkward, you know, freckly braces child. So you're like, oh, my gosh, I'm finally, you know, I finally have friends, and then this boy's looking at me and whatever. Now I gotta like start all over again, you know. It's just, yeah, so I was angry, and I just didn't understand it. I was very rebellious.
You certainly made it difficult for your parents.
Well, yeah, and I wanted to mention that, you know, my mom and dad, they live in Florida right now, and they were not able to come to my performance, you know, the event in person, but they saw my video when it first came out, and my mom called me immediately, and she said, thank you. And I didn't know what to expect, because I'm like, is she going to hate it? Is she going to love it? Did I tell the story? Because this is as much their story as it is mine. Mm-hmm. I mean, they uprooted us. They sacrificed everything. They left everything behind, their family, their friends, too. I mean, it wasn't just me. I felt like when I told my story, I made it all about me. And like, you know, it was like, maybe my mom thought it was, you know, one-sided. But no, the first thing she said to me was, thank you. And I said, really, Mom? And she said, yes. You know, in her words, she said, you told the story beautifully, and I am so glad you finally came around to it, because I don't think it's, you know, I'm 52, and I don't think I ever told my mom how positively their decision impacted me, because I think the last time we even talked about it, I was still an angry, rebellious teenager, basically yelling at them for, you know, ruining my life. And they did not ruin my life. They made it infinitely better. And she, you know, this was me telling the world, not just her, that they did, that they basically saved me, and, you know, they made everything so much better for me. So she thanked me, and we had a little cry on the phone, and I said, I'm sorry I never told you this before, Mom. And she goes, it's okay. It was worth the it was worth the wait, because aww. I'm getting teary-eyed, because I finally know how you felt, and you said it in front of the world. You didn't just say it to me. You said it in front of everyone, which is so much more meaningful.
I had that thought. I thought, what a wonderful way to honor your parents. Because as a mom, I thought when you were telling it, you want your children to be happy. And when you do something like that, even though you hope that it's the right thing in the long run, in the moment, you don't know.
You never know. You just never know. And she said she did, you know, every now and then she would have doubts over the past 30, 40 years, you know, that she would think about it and be like, did we make the right decision? Did we? And then she's validated, finally. She's like, you validated our decision. You finally, you know. And I'm like, Mom, I'm sorry I never told you that. I don't know why it never came up. But, you know, here it is, you know.
Well, as we go through our lives, we sometimes forget, right? That our parents are people and they have feelings. But that you're going through your own discovery process and it's yours. You can only live, you know, with your perspective in your life. And when you shared your story, it was yours. And it's okay that it was yours. Yeah. But I love that it could honor her as well. And that reflection that you got to do gave you an opportunity to realize, you know, how much they sacrificed and how much you benefited from their choices. I'm so glad.
What was the feedback and how did your own children respond?
Oh, my children loved it too, because I don't think they had heard the whole story either. It's so weird that I kept it to myself for so many years. Jeanette, you took it out of me. you did this.
You did this.
Wily. Because my kids knew that I grew up in Costa Rica. They knew the basics. They didn't know why we left and why we're here and, you know, and all of the stuff that I had to go through when I first came to this country, like learning the language, being bullied, slight racism here and there, you know, because it happens, you know, when you're like, we were in a small town in Florida that was not super diverse. So, you know, a Hispanic family coming in that didn't really speak the language. My dad spoke it pretty well because he went to school in the U.S. So, but my mom didn't, I didn't, and my sister didn't. So it's just, you know, dealing with all of that, hearing it from their point of view, because my daughters have also sort of had to deal with some of that. Like my youngest, especially because she looks even more Hispanic than I do. My oldest doesn't. You never know what she is because she's got red hair and like very pale skin. But my youngest daughter looks very Hispanic. So she, even though she was born and raised in the U.S. and speaks perfect English, not even a slight accent, has had to deal with what she calls microaggressions.
Wow.
I don't know if that's like a new term or something, but I've only heard her say it. She's heard everything from what are you to, she had a boy in junior high asked her, how long did it take your parents to climb over the wall? Like things like that. And she's like, no.
Wow.
Yeah, just, wow. Yeah. You know, just what she calls microaggressions, which sometimes they're not so micro.
That's not so micro.
Aggressive. But, yeah. You know, she's had to put up with a lot of that just because of the color of her skin and, you know, how she looks. And so she said that watching me on stage tell my story and, you know, because my story also included a few like different comments that kids had said to me when I was in high school, and she was like, Mom, you went through it too. I'm like, yes, honey, I went through. Because I guess I had never told them those stories either. Mm-hmm. Gosh. Again, Jeanette, you
see,
you did this. You like you brought all of our family together, and like my mom's happy, and my kids are happy. Aww. Everybody knows the full story now, and I don't know. I didn't know I was keeping a secret, but I guess I was.
Well, Patty, that just warms my heart, and it just speaks to the power of stories and sharing your stories, whether it's on stage or just, you know, with your family behind closed doors. But We forget that they have power. We forget that they can impact other people and open eyes. Just sitting here listening to you reflect on your journey and your daughter's experiences, what comes to mind for me is by you sharing your whole story, the hard stuff, the good stuff, even the happy ending, what it does is it humanizes the experience. Mm-hmm. There are hundreds and thousands of families who have come to the United States, who have relocated to any country, but are living somewhere where they're not feeling welcome. And we just go, oh, we don't know their story. And we I'm probably guilty of just, you know, grouping them together. And, oh, those people are people I don't understand their experience, or I'm not going to reach out to them because we just don't know. And by being someone who stands tall and shares, little by little,
as tall as I can stand,
as tall as you can stand, tall and proud. But it opens minds and it opens hearts and it you know, it pushes that comfort zone a little bit every time to go, no, these are real people with real feelings and real experiences. Yeah. You know, these are not the other, you know, there's right. there is no other. There's just human. Yeah. There's
we're
us.
All people. Yes. It's and we've all gone through. I mean, just like our that's what she said. You know, my story is this story, but everyone's had some sort of hardships, you know, some kind of story that makes them human and makes them, you know, and it's, you know, we can't just pretend like our story is the only one that matters and you know, everybody else is them over there and we over here. It's
and yours was so easy to connect to. You know, I'm a white girl from Indiana and had no experience with anything like that. But what I did have experience with was, you're ruining my life, Mom.
Oh, yeah.
What I did have experience with was that feeling of like, I don't belong. All those things, those were just details that separate us. But right. you really nailed like yeah. all the things that made people feel like our details are different, but yeah. the story's the
well,
same.
Well, yeah, anybody who's moved when they were teenagers or, you know, yeah, a lot of us have. I mean, whether it was a different country or cross country or whatever, or even to another city where you have to change schools, make new friends, that's that feeling that, oh my gosh, you're ruining my life. What am I going to do?
It's universal.
Yep, it is.
It is.
It's true. Well, I think that's mm-hmm. the perfect place for us to wrap this up because, you know, your story is my story, my story is your story. But I love what you said. The details may be different, but the stories are the same. Mm-hmm. And if we can keep creating opportunities to remember that, then we're doing our job here, you know, if that's what she said. But go find a place where you can tell your story, you know, whether it's on a She Said stage or, you know, at an open mic or
coffee shop
or around the coffee table at your local coffee clutch, mm-hmm. you know. But talk to people. Tell them what you're going through. Find connection.
That's the important thing, the connection.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And we hope that you have found something to take away from our chat with Miss Patty today.
Absolutely. I'm glad. I mean, I got a little teary-eyed there for a second, but it was great to be able to tell you guys what a great impact you made in my family, too. My mom, you know, finally thanking me for, you know, for telling the story, our story, because it's not just my story. And then my kids going, Mom, I can relate to you so much more now because you went through all the stuff we're going through right now. You, all the insecurities and everything.
Send our love to Mom and the girls.
I will. I'm sure she'll listen to this too.
I hope so. Hi, Mom.
Hi, girls. I'll send her a link.
I'll send them
all links. Once
all right. Well, for all you wonderful women out there and your daughters, you know, we're here for you. Thanks for listening and joining us today on the She Said Project podcast.
Over and out.
Thank you for listening to the She Said Project podcast in partnership with Illinois Public Media. All materials contained in the podcast are the exclusive property of the She Said Project and That's What She Said LLC. For more information on our live shows, go to shesaidproject.com. This podcast was made possible with support from Carl and Health Alliance and presented by Sterling Wealth Management, empowering women to live their best lives.
About
that was
mom.
So easy.